You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Everyone, welcome to episode 160, holy moly, of Teach Better Talk. My name is Ray Heuer. Don't laugh at me, Jeff. I was going to make a funny word for you, and then you just made fun of my holy moly. Hold on. My name is Ray Heuer, and I am with my stripper friend, Jeff Gargas.
Why stripper?
Because we were just talking before we recorded about how we want to change our outfits.
Oh, gotcha.
Now we are recording our introductions together, and you're going to see like three episodes are all in the same attire. So we're talking about needing to like change wardrobes between
them. Yeah, we really should. I just thought maybe we were like accidentally giving away everyone like my side hustle.
Oh, I didn't want to out you. No, that wasn't my intention.
How do you
make money on the Teach Better team? Well, I have a side
thing. You know... Anyway, let's not give everyone that visual. Too late. Enjoy that. Yeah. That's what nightmares are made of. Anyway, I'm laughing.
We're derailed.
We're totally derailed. Because you messed it up. It's all your fault. Anyway, I know. I don't try to be funny, Ray. I'm being serious right now. I'm getting serious for a second.
Dun, dun, dun.
So actually, I do want to get, like, I guess, sort of serious. Just because we are in kind of a weird, crazy, unknown, challenging time. And I think laughter is obviously really important right now. But also, you know, one of the things that I wanted to sort of touch on and see if you can kind of rant on for a little bit, if you don't mind. We haven't done a Ray rant for a while, For a while, I don't know if you remember, I used to be like, when we weren't very prepared, I'd just be like, hey, Ray, rant, go. And you'd just be like, okay, go. So I want you to do that now. I'm curious. So, you know, with everything going on with school closing and everyone having to work on distance learning, remote learning, whatever you want to call it, we've had hundreds, dare I say, maybe thousands of conversations. I mean, it just seems like we're constantly having a conversation, which is awesome because we want people to reach out to us. We want to try and support. Our team is just going crazy trying to be there and support and have conversations. And I know you are having a ton of them. Can you touch on, from your viewpoint, and as both a teacher, but also as someone who works with teachers all the time like this, what's sort of one of the biggest challenges, focuses, takeaways that you've had from all these conversations around remote learning and distance learning, supporting our students and our community and stuff like that? What is one of those things that just seems to be always something that you're talking about, that you're working with teachers on, and that they need to focus on right now?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, we really truly have had thousands of conversations over the last few weeks, and it seems like educators are in all different spots. It doesn't matter the state, it doesn't matter where they are in the country, it doesn't matter even where they are in the state or even in the communities. Every district has taken a different approach to this, and I found that teachers either fall into two categories. One is that they started immediately focusing on the whole child. They're really going the SEL route. They're kind of putting content to the side, and they're really focusing on the emotional stability of students. Mm-hmm. The other realm I've seen is teachers that are diving full throttle into content, where they're saying, I can still, you know, recreate my classroom virtually. And it's funny because I think with both realms of educators, we won't even debate necessarily one being better than the other. It's just more about finding a balance. And what I find is that both of these educators need a management strategy. And so a lot of the conversations early on I was having was, Ray, throw me every tech tool I can use, or Ray, tell me how we're going to feed our children, you know, when schools aren't open. Yeah. And there seems to be this big wave of shifting where teachers are now saying, okay, now that we've kind of allowed the dust to settle a little and we kind of have a plan, how do I manage all that's going on? And I'm working with teachers that have 12 students to 150 students that they're managing. And all of those types of educators really are benefiting from the triage system. So okay. I learned the triage system from Chad, but yeah. I've seen amazing educators adapt it. And so I think the triage system does two key things for educators that are listening that may not be familiar with the triage system. You don't have to do like the grid method or anything else to still use this function of management. One is that it allows the student to advocate for their needs. And the other allows for the student to take control over sharing what is going on with their learning at that point in time. And I think that transfer of ownership from the teacher feeling like they need to manage everything and know everything about their students at all times to the student learning how to not only voice needs that they need, but also vocalize the work they're getting done and doing some intentional reflection on that to keep the teacher updated. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that shift.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know a lot of teachers are doing this virtually through different apps. Other educators are using Google Sheets and organizing it that way. I'm doing a variation of what I used to do in my classroom in a Google Sheet now. And I use colors, and colors are really becoming the norm that I'm seeing educators use because they're easy for students to understand. And it allows the teacher to visually see what students need them at all times.
Can we step back one step and sort of go higher up of, if I'm hearing this word triage system in my classroom for the first time, can you kind of break down, like, because I agree with you, I've had a ton of conversations around the same thing. And I've always, since the day one of hearing it from Chad, said this needs to be in every classroom, whether it's grid method or not, whether it's mastery based or not, whether it's personalized, like anything. It's just such a powerful tool. So can you kind of break down what, when you say triage system at sort of very top level, what's that mean? And then, if you wouldn't mind, then break down, I'd love to hear, I think it would be really valuable for everyone to hear, how you run that in your classroom and then how you're now running that without a classroom virtually right now.
Totally. So the triage system was the management of how to implement. And at the time when I was learning it, it was how to implement mastery learning. Mm-hmm. And so there's this element, there's element of students using colors to share their needs with the teacher. So for example, the two colors, I've made it three in my classroom. Two of them have to do with questioning. So if you have a yellow question, it's a question that has not stopped your learning, but you do need some support. Or a red question where if you're turning, you know, a cup, or we can talk about how do you do this, but if you're turning something red, you're saying my learning has stopped, I need immediate support. Yeah. And then, you know, you can use like a green to say, no, I'm good to go.
Yep.
So that system has allowed a student to not only advocate for them needing something from the educator or to their peers, but then it also allows you as the educator and the other students in the room to kind of see how important it is that you get to the student at that time. So for me as the teacher, it really does allow me to see, you know, Suzanne might need me, but Derek is red. And so I'm going to go to Derek first because he's red. And then I'm going to go to Suzanne because she was yellow.
Suzanne can still continue working. She doesn't need you as important right now. Which comes from the idea of like an emergency room triage where the person with the most severe injury gets help first versus a traditional quote unquote trash classroom where the first hand up gets help first, but that might be a sprained ankle where the third hand up might be the heart attack, right? So
totally
love it. Awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You were rolling. I just wanted to jump in there because that's where it came from. So that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's super important. And I appreciate you adding that layer because now, I mean, it's so like natural in my classroom, even just to even know where it originated from. But in my classroom, we kind of layered on student pacing themselves with the triage system. So students use colors all over my classroom to communicate different things. And what I love from this is I can truly look up at any moment and I can tell you exactly where students are and what they need. So for me specifically, I've seen it done with cups. I've seen it with, you know, pins on a board. I've seen magnets. I personally use a Google Sheet, and every student has their own area that they color code things. There's a lot of different ways you could do this, but for me, I have all the students down one column and then they color code the row essentially. And what we do is green means that they've mastered something. Blue means that they're currently working on a skill. Red means that they have an immediate need that stopped their learning. Yellow means that they have a question or need, but they can still continue working until I can get to them. And then orange was a huge lifesaver. Orange means that they need me, but they need me for a conference. And so I can look at a Google Sheet or whatever tool I'm using. I mean, truly, you can use this in a lot of different ways in a distance learning classroom, especially. But I can look and see what every student needs at all times, and they're the ones taking the ownership and updating it. So while there might be something at the beginning, you know, like I do in my own classroom, I track it on my end to make sure that they're learning this procedure. Once the procedure is in place, it is a huge lifesaver of the change in ownership that students have. And so I'm seeing a lot of teachers need this element in their distance learning classroom. I'm seeing it make a huge positive impact.
Gosh, yeah, and you've mentioned, you know, we've seen this done with cups, we've seen it done with Google Sheets, we've done it with smart boards, we've seen it done with little flags, we've seen it done with a whole bunch of different things. Obviously, right now, you know, the digital versions are going to be a lot. So I think the Google Sheet is such a great way to do it, because you can actually track the progress and they can mark where they're at. And right now, you can pull up your Google Sheet, have that as a tab or a window, whatever. And as your students are working, if something turns red, you know, okay, now I got to check in with this person.
So I usually,
a Google Meet or whatever it might be.
I usually put them together, but now that I'm in a distance learning setting, I actually separated them again.
Okay.
And I did that because I do want students to track their learning, but I want them to use the triage system of like that red, yellow, orange when we're in our Zoom calls and we're doing like conferencing.
Okay.
And so we're using that more as like the immediate need when you're live with the teacher or you're working on something. Here's how you're communicating with others that are live working at during that same time at a distance. And then we're using the tracking page to say, hey, this is the work that I'm currently working on. So it's been really great to see.
Yeah, I like that adaptation of how you did that. So really cool. Yeah, that's important. So I'd love to hear. So if you're listening right now, I'd love to hear one, if this is something that you feel like you've been struggling with and maybe this is something that can help you. Or if there's something else that's really been like your biggest pain point, tweet out at us. I mean, we're doing everything we can to create more content, more resources, and do whatever we can to support you. You know, one of the ways we're doing that is going live every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Or 7 a.m. Central Time in our Facebook group. And those have really just been all about support. We're getting a little more targeted, talking about more tactical takeaways now. And, you know, if you're tweeting at us and letting us know what's going on, what you're struggling with, we're going to try and get that taken care of there. We're creating a lot of downloads. We're working on more courses. Or maybe we'll have Ray blabber on about it here on Teach Better Talk. So share that with us. But yeah, that was awesome, Ray. I appreciate you kind of diving in there with us on that. So let's dive into this episode. Ooh,
let's do it. That was a good one.
I haven't had a good one like that for a while. I'm pumped up about that one. So Katie Decker is a 30-year veteran. So she actually technically, quote unquote, retired from education, and she works with a really cool company called Socrates right now. And she works with them helping to create new curriculum and working with teachers and doing training. They're doing some really great work actually in Mexico, helping teachers down there as well. I mean, they're out of the Vegas area, but she's really helping lead that team. They have an amazing leadership team over there. She's really leading sort of the curriculum side of that and a lot of the training. But prior to that, 30 years in education, she was a principal and took one of the lowest performing schools in her district up to the basically top, and actually won awards with her magnet program at the Walter Bracken STEAM Academy. So this is a very, very experienced, passionate educator who, when you talk to her, you kind of figure out like, oh, okay, so she retired, but she just didn't want to leave. She just wanted to keep working in education. She loves what she does. She loves being able to support teachers now in a role of helping them continue to be as passionate as they can be and have everything they need in order to support their students. And I love seeing that when you see someone who's put in 30 years and could walk away, could retire, and says, nope, I got to be in here. I still got to be a part of it, because you never stop being a teacher like that. And she talks about that. She's sharing some of the really cool things that they're doing as a company in general, but also what they're doing right now to try and support teachers during these kind of crazy times and stuff. So really excited about you for you to listen to this episode with Katie. She's just a super fun person, super passionate. Really excited to have her on. Ray, anything you want us to pull out of this episode? Just her
so
awesomeness.
Listen, yes, it's a great episode. Let's do this.
I love it. So let's get into episode 160 with Katie Decker.
Hey everyone, we're going to get right back to the episode, but I wanted to make sure you had the details of what the team is continuously doing to support
all of the educators that are striving to reach their students at a distance. Now, while we will continue to push out content like blogs, podcasts, free downloads, and online courses to support you, we wanted to do more. So you can meet our team live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in our private Facebook group at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern for a daily drop-in. During this time, we'll be providing PD for all educators and answering your questions to make sure you feel supported. We'll meet you over in our private Facebook group. You can request to join at teachbettergroup.com or simply by searching Teach Better Team on Facebook. We'll meet you there. Now, let's get back to the episode.
All right, we're here. We are chatting with Katie Decker. And Katie's really awesome to talk to you and sort of dive into your world and your journey. You've been teaching for a long time and now in a little bit different role and some really cool stuff to get into and talk to you about how you work with teachers and how you support them. Before we dive too far into, you know, your story and your backstory and everything like that, I just wanted to ask you, how you feeling right now?
Well, it's a stressful time for sure. And it's a very stressful time right now.
Well, Katie, I'm so excited to dive into all the things that I know you're going to be able to share. And I know it's a really stressful time, but we're all kind of in the trenches supporting educators. So I know there's going to be a lot of good stuff in here. Would you mind kind of giving our listeners an insight in all that you do? You know, if somebody stopped you and said, hey, Katie, what do you do for a living? How would you typically describe yourself?
Well, right now I'm an education consultant with Socrates. And so my main purpose is to assist with training and education. And I also help build content on the platform. So I've been adding things like sight word builders and different things, tools that will help the students, and instructional videos. So I create these video scribes and add those. They get added to the platform for the students to help them better understand the content. So pretty much focused on education and awareness. And then I assist training down in Mexico. I'm helping teachers there. I'm on the Facebook page. I answer questions. And so I'm pretty busy.
You really are. So can you give us sort of the 1,000-foot overview of what is Socrates? What do you do? What's the platform and who's it made for?
Well, Socrates is really cool because here in the States, we have a lot of choices of online learning programs and they've gotten out of control when it comes to pricing. As a principal, I know that there were many that we had to choose, like, what are we going to afford? What can we continue? And they weren't really sustainable. So when Socrates came to the table, they're a local company, and they were creating this online learning platform, they were actually listening to us as teachers and principals as to what our needs were and building it based on those needs. And that's what they've continued to do. So we're constantly getting feedback from users to make it a tool that is useful for them and helps guide learning and instruction with their children while engaging kids through gamification. And so that's been a really unique journey. And, you know, when I retired, I had a lot of choices in terms of what I wanted to do for my second career. And I really do believe that this company is amazing. And we have our founder who's very creative and really intuitive in terms of what the needs are out there. And then down in Mexico, this is the only solution for them. They've not even used technology for instruction. So when we're going down there, not only am I providing instruction for them, I'm also teaching them cooperative learning strategies while we present and different things that they've not been exposed to. So it's a very powerful learning tool for that community that hasn't had any other options to date. And so that's basically what Socrates is. It's much more affordable and it's constantly evolving.
It's really cool. You have a great team and they're really doing some great work. So I'll make sure to include links over there so you guys can check out Socrates in the show notes so you can grab that and go see what all is going on over there. So Katie, really interested to jump into your head on this one. You've had a long career and a variety of things that you've done and now into, you know, like you said, sort of this, your second career now after quote unquote retiring, right? So I'm interested to hear this. You know, we talk a lot about failure on this podcast. So can you share a story with us about time that you've had a failure? Sort of take us there with you. What happened? How did you overcome that? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Oh, gosh. Well, I got picketed my first year as a principal. And I actually, when I first started leading a school, I learned that the biggest mistake you do is not communicate consistently. And I think by the time I retired, I probably overshared way too much with my staff. They knew everything. And I learned how to empower. But that first year, making decisions and not communicating them, they were logical to me. They made sense to me. You know, like I moved dismissal and then all of a sudden everybody was mad at me. They're like, you're throwing the kids out with the trash. But I was actually making it safer where they were exiting the back of the school, not by the trash, but instead of the front where all the cars were. So I was trying to make it a safer situation and it made perfect sense to me, but I didn't communicate it. So I learned how to get all stakeholders involved in the decision-making process. And even I would have done the same thing, but if I would have communicated it, then they would have been more agreeable. It would have been more smooth. They would have helped with ideas to tweak it a little bit and it would have been better.
Yeah. I mean, communication is so key. People will fight against something they don't understand very quickly, but if you can communicate it effectively to them, especially if it's something that's changed, it's something that's new, it's something that's different, right? Something mm-hmm. they don't really understand. They're going to fight that. They're going to be worried about it. They're going to be afraid about it. And therefore, it's going to be tough. If you can communicate that, you know, right. And obviously it has to be a good idea, but as long as you can communicate it properly, they can at least understand what you're trying to do, much more to do that. So that's a great, just a general life advice there from that story. So really appreciate that. Let's flip it now. Let's look at the other side here. Tell us about a successful moment you have. And this can be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from that experience?
Well, the biggest success I had was working with a company called HSBC. It's a bank. And they wanted to bring 150 volunteers for 4 hours, kind of like a Trading Spaces situation, to our school. And they said, can you keep them busy? And we'll give you $20,000. And I immediately said yes. But when I went back and the staff and working with that bank and planning the event, it ended up being something so incredibly special. And it ended up being something I repeated many, many times in the future at 3 elementary schools. And I also helped foster that relationship through the business community and other schools because we knew how to organize our day, how to chart out all the projects to be done. We learned how to sketch up murals on the walls with overhead projectors at night. We just were completely prepared. And the day was amazing. The children interacting with the volunteers proud of what they were able to accomplish. And they took the ugliest school in our district and made it look beautiful. And my school was down in the middle of downtown Las Vegas and it was turned into a magnet school. So I was supposed to be recruiting kids to come there. Well, it looked terrible. So that was not going to happen. And so we changed the climate. And when you change the climate, you change the culture. And the whole culture of that school changed. And we went from the lowest performing school in Las Vegas all the way to the top. National Blue Ribbon. We won National Title Distinguished 3 years in a row. We earned every award you could possibly earn. And it was all because of that community spirit, knowing how to leverage the business community coming into our school, helping us accomplish our goals, and changing that climate for the children. Letting them know that they're cared about and that they're important. That was just tremendous. So it all started with HSBC.
Katie, I love what you shared so far, but I have to know, with everything that you've done, all these different experiences that you've not only gotten on your own, but also provided to other educators, what's really keeping you excited now about everything that you're doing?
Just continuing to provide those easier resources to make the job of being an educator not quite as challenging as it currently is, and to try to take some of that weight away and to help parents in understanding what their children are learning and what they know. So I think once you're an educator, you can't just turn it off. It's there. So you're an educator for life. I mean, even when you go to the grocery store and you see a little kid, you start interacting with them. It's just natural.
Absolutely. And I think that that's so important that, you know, educators, even when they quote unquote retire, I mean, we're always an educator, whether it be a Sunday and, you know, we consider ourselves out of, you know, off of work right now or whatever, we're constantly, you know, educators in a lot of different ways. So when it comes to question 5, we always focus on a piece of advice. So if you had to give educators a piece of advice right now, what would you want them to hear?
Oh gosh, a piece of advice would be to just give yourself time and patience to constantly learn. I always told my staff, you know, when you're a teacher, it's a practice. So we tell doctors they're practicing and that it's okay if they make mistakes, and teachers also are practicing it constantly and evolving and developing. And so you're not going to be perfect. Don't try to be, because it won't work. You're not going to be perfect. Nothing will ever go perfectly. And just give yourself time and patience to learn and continue to grow.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's such a important advice. And we hear similar instances, but I think just being very blunt, but like, give yourself a break. You're not going to be perfect. You need to give yourself time to mistake. I love the reference, like, to doctors that we say, you know, they're practicing, and it's got to be the same here. You can't expect to have it all down. I think it's so common. I think just the type of personality that is attracted to teaching has this sort of, I've got to have it all when I come out of school. I got to be ready to be amazing. And The truth is, you don't. You got to learn. You're going to come down and learn so much of what you end up being, and so much of what you bring into your career as a teacher is going to happen after you get into the classrooms and you start learning there. So I love that advice. That's perfect. So I'm curious about, you know, just with the current state of sort of the world right now, it's a little bit crazy, a little bit off tilt. Are you, at Socrates, are you guys fielding a lot of conversations with teachers? Are you guys doing it? Are you shifting anything to help support them in different ways? I mean, your platform already works for a lot of the situation that we're in, but is there any shifts you guys have made as a team, as the platform to position yourselves differently to help in this particular time? Or
yeah, absolutely. So we've been offering our software free for 90 days to anybody so if they go to the website, they'll be able to start a free student account if they're at a school that doesn't already use it. Our student usage is through the roofs, so that's super exciting that the kids are using it actually more now than when they were in school. And so that definitely tells us that they like to play. And I've been having lots of video conferencing with different teachers that can go in and giving them strategies and tips on encouraging the children and like recognizing the kids who have been working and tell them good job and just to keep motivating them to keep working and keep going. And then we've been doing a lot of instructional videos for Mexico to make sure that they have the capacity to help their students and understand the tool and how to use it. So that's kind of what we've been doing, just really offering that free account, offering to get them started. And then I'm always there to help if they don't know how to use it or they need some support or advice. We are here for them.
That's awesome. And the site to go to is withsocrates.com. Mm-hmm. And that's where they can go get that free account for 90 days, correct?
Yep.
Just right on the main site. Katie, is that for all grade levels? If I'm a listener right now and I'm going to go check that out, is there a certain content area I need to be in?
It's actually for kindergarten through middle school, and middle school is just math. But for kindergarten through fifth grade, we have sight words, we have ELA, we have math, and we also have physical science.
Very cool. Awesome. I appreciate you sharing some of that with you and what you're doing. You guys are doing great work, so that's awesome to hear. Let's have some fun now. We're going to do the next six questions, and your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. You ready to go?
Okay.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Socrates.
Well, give us a book that you're reading right now.
Oh my gosh. I'm not reading right now. I've been writing books, so I'm not reading at the moment. I normally do.
Are you doing anything else right now? Anything that you're diving into, learning something new, exploring, anything like that? Any fun going on?
Well, the Camtasia, I've been watching lots of videos on that so I can become more adept at it. Yeah.
Which is a video editing pro platform.
Yes, it's great, a beast. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Loving it. Who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
I actually just go into the general settings. Okay. I watch the school district and I watch our state of Nevada and the news. So I'm kind of boring.
That's all right. Hey, I actually love hearing that sort of different takes on, like, this is how I use this tool, and it's not the same way as everyone else. Like, so a lot of people have like their go-tos that they follow, or maybe it's a hashtag, maybe it's a, you know, a list that they've created, whatever. So I like hearing different things. Like you just go in there and generally jump in to see what's going on in the world. And that's great. It's just another use for that tool. So I love it. What's a good YouTube channel or website for educators?
Well, we have a lady that we work with here called Science Mom. She has a great YouTube channel. And then we have a YouTube channel too, but our videos right now are under the platform. So we'll be building that later.
Great. Give us a good daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Daily, monthly, or weekly? Well, daily, I say you make your bed first thing in the morning so you know you did something. And then a weekly habit, take time for yourself. Like just either go get your nails done or a facial. Boys like those too, just so you know. So I definitely think self-care is important.
Very good. And lastly, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I ever received was don't try to be perfect. Mm-hmm. That was really good the best. Advice.
Totally true. Absolutely. Don't try to be perfect. I like that. So for all of our listeners, I want to make sure that they can stay connected to you and continue to learn not only about the work that you're doing right now, but just all the trainings that you continue to do to support educators. Would you mind kind of sharing with us how we can stay connected?
How you can stay connected? With me personally, I'm on Facebook, but you can also go to our Socrates page. And if you do a chat, I might answer you because I'm on there reading those. But I think that would probably be the best way. And then I wrote one blog for you guys, so there'll be a page for that, right?
Yep. Yeah, we'll make sure that we also include that in the show notes as well. So we'll put all the links and all the resources, everything we talked about in the show notes over at teachbetter.com. So make sure you head over there and we'll have the links over there so you can check out Katie's blog with us, as well as the links to try and connect with her and check out Socrates and the free sign up they have right now for 90 days to get in there and explore that. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate that. And let's keep taking this one step further. Just think of three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share this podcast with them. Katie, this has been great. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us and the cool things that you're doing right now and what you're doing to help support teachers and just having some fun with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.